You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hawkeye Nation podcast, HawkeyeNation.com. Andrew Downs here with you on a Wednesday afternoon. Apologies for not getting anything up Monday night after the Iowa win over West Virginia in the round of 32 in the NCAA tournament. Been dealing with some health issues that have been sapping my energy and taking a lot of time. You don't need to hear about that. I'm okay. Everything's okay. But that's why there's been a bit of a delay here on the podcast. But that also allows me to talk about this this next matchup, the rest of this tournament, and some men's basketball here as well. We'll start with the Iowa women, though. The one-seed Iowa women, second overall seed in the NCAA tournament, who now sit a 10-point win at home against West Virginia in the round of 32 in Caitlin Clark's final home game as an Iowa Hawkeye. Gabby Marshall, Kate Martin as well. Molly Davis, who didn't play her final game as well. An emotional night there in Carver-Hawkeye Arena. From start to finish, really. I mean, what a game that was, how frustrating it was at times. I think you can look at it a couple of different ways. On one hand, that's the way you're going to beat Iowa, is you get in their face, you throw fouls at them, you hope that the other players around Caitlin Clark have off nights. Gabby Marshall, who didn't score, 0 for 4 from the field. Kate Martin, who was 2 for 7 from the field, didn't hit a 3. As a matter of fact, Caitlin Clark, the only player to hit a three on the Iowa Hawkeyes. She was just 5 of 14, though, from behind the arc. Only 4 Hawkeyes scored. I mean, this is the box score you want if you're playing against Iowa. And yet, Iowa came away with a 10-point win. And so, on one hand, you worry, I think, as an Iowa fan, that other teams are teams are going to be able to kind of throw this at Iowa and have a chance to beat them. On the other hand, West Virginia does about as well as anybody, and Iowa still came away with a 10-point victory. And it was close at the end, and in the fourth quarter, it was got real tight there. Iowa didn't score much in the fourth quarter. A lot of it was free throws. They got to the free throw line because of how many fouls West Virginia was throwing at Iowa, how physical they were playing. So I think that was deserved by Iowa to get those free throws, but I think just 1 of 10 from the field in the fourth quarter on Sydney Afalter's big and one bucket after Gabby Marshall's just monster block, a second monster block from Gabby Marshall down the stretch here. And so, again, I think if you're optimistic, if you want to look at it from an optimistic point of view, it's, hey, that's the way to beat Iowa, and they weren't able to do it. You also wonder, does getting away from home relieve some of the pressure? You could tell, you can kind of see it on their faces, right? And I'm not going to complain about how Caitlin Clark behaves or reacts or handles herself on the court. She's demonstrative for sure. She's a competitor. I mean, this is what we love about some of our favorite players of all time. This is what I loved about Kobe Bryant as a Lakers fan. It's what a lot of you loved about Michael Jordan. I take it personal. All of that stuff. And that's what Caitlin Clark is. She's in that echelon. She's an elite competitor, and it gets the better of her sometimes. She also had an off night and had 32 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, a couple of steals. Too many turnovers for this team, for sure. But you could just kind of tell that this pressure is getting to this team a little bit. But I think getting away from home, not having the pressure. I mean, you couldn't lose your last home game, right? You couldn't lose in the round of 32. There must have been so much pressure, and there has been all season long. Every arena they go to is sold out. It's an absolute circus. It's a spectacle everywhere they go. These first two games were the most watched pre-Sweet 16 games or pre-Final Four games in women's NCAA tournament history. These two games, everybody's eyes are on Caitlin Clark. They're watching every move she makes on and off the floor. And so you wonder if getting away from all of this, getting out of that bubble in Iowa City, is going to be a little bit helpful. Now, the competition's going to get tougher. There's no doubt about it. You play a Colorado team that you beat in the Sweet 16 a year ago, a Colorado team that has really walked through the NCAA tournament thus far, beat a good Drake team by 14 in the first round, and beat Kansas State, a team that I was split with this season, by 13 on Sunday in the round of 32. So now you play against this good Colorado team who's out for revenge, who, you know, thinks they can get in the head of Caitlin Clark and this Iowa women's team, and we'll see if that's able to happen. But we haven't seen a great game from Caitlin Clark in this tournament yet. And obviously last year, all we saw were great games from Caitlin Clark for the most part, I guess with the exception of the championship game, which even that you could argue with. I still think we should feel good about where Iowa is moving forward in this tournament. And then beyond that, the Saturday game against Colorado, I think hopefully a matchup with LSU, right? Like, I want to see that game. The world wants to see that game. I imagine Caitlin Clark wants to see that game. I know Kim Mulkey and Angel Reese want that game. You flip it on the other end, right? Colorado has this revenge factor against Iowa coming up in the next matchup. If I was able to get through that, there's a lot of motivation to beat this LSU team. Now, will LSU get there? I don't know. They've struggled a bit as well. They've had some scares against Rice and against Middle Tennessee. They ultimately came out and won by quite a bit. But that Middle Tennessee game was close in the third quarter. That's a team that you wonder about their chemistry. You wonder about all of the outside noise. You talk about distraction. Kim Mulkey's being investigated by the Washington Post. She's out there threatening to sue people. That's a team that's had chemistry issues all season long, it seems like. But they were able to come together last year and win a national championship, and she's a great coach, and that's a great team, and so you don't put it past them. UCLA would be a great matchup for Iowa as well. I mean, it'd be fun, a 1 seed versus a 2 seed. That's how it's, you know, that's the chalk, but I think we all want to see this LSU game, right? On Monday? I know I do, because I have faith that this team can get that done. And then beyond that, you know, we'll see how the chips fall, but if it's USC, I mean, there's just nothing but fun moving forward here until Iowa loses, and hopefully we get 4 more games with Caitlin Clark and this team around her. But that was, again, I think if you look at it from an optimistic standpoint, you think West Virginia did about everything you could do. That's how games are going to be called. They're not going to let these games get much more physical than that one was. They're going to foul out people on the other team if they're throwing bodies at Caitlin Clark and at the rest of the Hawkeyes the way West Virginia was. Hannah Stolke didn't have a great offensive game, but I thought she played tough as hell. And especially, you know, having not played much in the first round game, I don't know exactly how she was feeling in this game. I think she seemed okay. Just 3 of 6 from the field. Had a couple of, you know, fumbles on some of those passes that we've kind of just come to expect her to catch for with Caitlin Clark, although some of those passes were a little tougher and in a little more traffic than we're used to. But I thought she was just tough as hell. 11 rebounds for Hannah Stolke. Sydney Falter had 13 points. She played well, had that huge bucket late. She had 7 rebounds. She came up big. Kate Martin had 10 rebounds, 7 points. She came up big. And then you just need to get more. You can't have Gabby Marshall go over, and you need to get something off the bench. Addison O'Grady, Taylor McCabe, Kylie Feuerbach each played, but only played, a total of 16 minutes in the game combined. So you had your 5 starters out there playing pretty much the entire game. You keep Gabby out there, whether or not she's scoring, because of those defensive plays that she's able to make, that intensity that she's able to bring. And I think that's the other thing, too. You know, Iowa's not a defensive team. It's not a defensive-minded team. but they held West Virginia to 54 points. That game was played at the pace West Virginia wanted to play, and yet Iowa was able to pick up their defense. Now, West Virginia missed a lot of shots, but Iowa gave them those shots. It was kind of like the South Carolina game last year. Iowa's game plan was, hey, if you can beat us by hitting a bunch of threes, more power to you, but we don't think you can. And it turned out they couldn't. And so it wasn't ideal. It wasn't perfect. You would have loved to see a 30-point beatdown and Caitlin Clark get 40 and a triple-double and Gabby Marshall hit a bunch of threes and them cruise to a win in their final home game. But that's not the way it went. And, you know, I think this team will probably ultimately be better for it. But, you know, it also just shows the margin of error you have right now is so little. And moving forward, it's going to get increasingly smaller. We lived through this last year. We haven't lived through it on the men's side. We lived through this on the women's side now. What it takes to make a run to a Final Four in a championship game. How good you have to be. How close these games are going to be. I think it's going to be fun. I'm buckled up, man. I'm excited. This is what we live for. This is why you have the best player in the country. This is why we have all fallen in love with Caitlin Clark. It's going to be fun, and I hope we get through Colorado, obviously, and then I really do. I hope LSU beats UCLA and we get that rematch with a trip to the Final Four on the line. It should be fun. Hopefully some people will be out in Albany, and we'll talk more about that as we move forward. Less fun to talk about the men's basketball program, but let's do that. So the Iowa men fell to Utah in the NIT's second round, 91-82, the final score there, in a game where defense was just absolutely optional, a game we've seen so many times under Fran McCaffrey and in this program, a game where I wasn't sure which was worse, the ESPN broadcast or Iowa's defense. You're not going to be able to outscore everybody, and I think that's where the frustration comes in for a lot of people. There's a few ways to talk about this, because on one hand, I've been a Fran McCaffrey defender for a long time, and I still am, because I think the relative success is there, and I think getting to the tournament every year is something to be lauded. It's not a given. It's not a sure thing at Iowa that you're going to get to the tournament every year, even in the transfer portal and NIL era. I don't think that's a legitimate expectation. I think top half finishes in the Big Ten are good and they're fun, and I think for the most part these regular seasons provide a lot of entertainment. I think these teams are fun to watch. I think Fran recruits and develops talent as well as anybody, as far as, you know, kind of finding diamonds in the rough. But he's missed on guards over and over and over again. I mean, how many times have we been close on that kind of transcendental point guard? How many times in March have we found out that we just don't have the guard play to get this done, and we don't have the defensive intensity, the defensive game plan, the defensive chops to stop teams when we need to stop teams? You can't outscore everybody. And when you're in these one-and-done situations, it just comes back to bite you. And so there are some real issues with Fran McCaffrey's coaching style and with the way this program is being handled. There's no question about it. I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied, but I also don't think we need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Now, that being said, this is a huge offseason for Fran McCaffrey, and next season is a huge season for this program. You can't have another year like this. If you don't make the tournament next year, I don't know how you bring him back. With the apathy in the fan base, the lack of butts in seats in Carver Hawkeye Arena, the lack of success in March. And as I said in a previous podcast, man, it, fair or not, the bottom line is no Iowa basketball season is going to feel successful until they make a Sweet 16. And once that happens, we can then go back and readjust our priorities and readjust our expectations. And then seasons in which Iowa does better than we expected, like they did for the majority of this season, like they did down the stretch in this season, before falling short in the Big Ten tournament against Illinois in the regular season finale and in the NIT, it will feel different. But right now, there's the ugly truth is you have to get that monkey off your back. And I think Fran can do it, but that's fully on faith. There is no evidence to show me that. And there is no evidence that it's going to be easier or better next season. Tony Perkins has entered the transfer portal. Desante Bowen entered the transfer portal, a couple of weeks ago. That was not a big surprise. None of these were big surprises. And that's you know, keep that in mind as well. Tony Perkins going to the transfer portal is not a big surprise. Now, it's going to suck when Tony Perkins joins another Power 5 team and probably plays a big role on a good team next year. It's going to suck to watch highlights of Tony Perkins in another jersey because we've gone through the ups and downs with him. We've loved him. We've seen him shine. We've seen him do nothing. We've seen him falter down the stretch this season. He needed to be better this year than he was. Peyton Sanford needed to be better this year than he was. Iowa needed that development to happen, and it didn't happen. And that's on Fran, for sure. It's on those guys as well. But it's going to suck when Tony Perkins goes and plays somewhere else and does well, because that's going to happen. He's going to go somewhere big. He's going to be a big piece of that team. He's not going to be the guy. He probably won't even be the number two guy. But Tony Perkins will be a very good third option on a very good team next year. And if Iowa is wallowing around 500 and we're talking about being on the bubble again, it's going to really suck to watch that. It is. And that's the reality of it. Patrick McCaffrey is entering the transfer portal as well. That's a headline-grabbing thing. There's no doubt about it. That's a bad look. It looks bad. We all know, because we're here every day, we understand the situation. We know that Patrick has been through a lot, that this family has been through a lot. They haven't always been embraced, if ever have been embraced, by the entire fan base. Patrick has regressed. He was much better as a sophomore than he was as a junior or a senior. And I think Patrick will end up at a mid-major program and be a very good player. I think he'll have a good year next year somewhere else. And good for him. I hope that's the case. I hope he's able to go and do well and play well and achieve all his dreams. Go on to be a coach if that's what he wants, or, you know, never pick up a basketball again. Whatever he wants. That kid has earned it in every way. That is, he's earned nothing but our respect and our hope for him to do well. But he wasn't going to come back and be a big piece of this team next year. And it's probably best that he moves on. I don't think it means Fran McCaffrey is going. Maybe it does. I don't think so. I'd be shocked, honestly, at this point, if Fran McCaffrey walked away from this contract and walked away from this team, this program, at this point. But that being said, that leaves you with some big holes in your roster. I think Iowa has 3 open scholarships now, and you have to get into the portal, and you have to make some noise. It's great to get a Ben Cricky out of the Missouri Valley. You need a guard. You need a game-changing guard. You need an alpha. Peyton Sanford can be that guy, has shown flashes of being that guy, but has also shown the inconsistency that has hampered this program for decades. You love what you see out of Owen Freeman, the Big Ten Freshman of the Year. I guess the first thing is you have to keep these guys. And I don't think Iowa will have trouble doing that. I don't expect Owen Freeman or Josh Dix or Brock Harding or Laje Dembele or the Sanford brothers to enter the transfer portal. I'd be surprised if those happen. And if they do happen, I'll eat crow and that'll suck. And things will get worse if those things happen. But that's a pretty good core to be bringing back next year. The problem is that's not a great core. And it's okay to have a down year. You have to expect Iowa to have down years. This was a down year. You can't have multiple down years. Not when the Big Ten is expanding. Not when you have so much money flooding in from TV contracts And not when NIL is a legitimate thing. And the Iowa Swarm is a legitimate player in NIL. Something needs to happen. Somebody needs to step up, whatever that is. Iowa needs to get some wins this offseason. They need to get some wins on the court as far as who they get. They need to get some wins off the court as far as PR, trying to get this fan base reconnected with this team. I don't know how that happens. I don't know. And that's the worrisome thing, is because if you go through another year like we just had, I don't see how you bring Fran McCaffrey back. And I don't think he deserves to be fired based on what he has done historically at Iowa. But you start looking around, man. And as much as you hate to do it, you look at Ames. They had to make a change because they went winless in the conference. I was not going winless in the Big Ten. I was not going to fall off the cliff the way that Iowa State did under Steve Prohme. So they were forced to make a change. They didn't have some altruistic thing where they, you know, hey, we're, it's just not quite good enough. No, they were terrible. They've been to 2 Sweet 16s in the last 3 years. And that's a damn good team they have in Ames right now. And they basically built it through the transfer portal and a couple of recruiting pieces. Iowa has the recruiting pieces. Guys like Owen Freeman and Brock Harding can be those guys, but they can't do it by themselves. And it just doesn't feel like, I mean, if Josh Dix takes that step and becomes a Jared Utoff type player, then yes, that'd be great. I think Dembele, I think Price, I think a lot of these guys are going to take steps this offseason for sure. But you have to have more than that. This team right now, as currently constructed, is not good enough to do next year what they need to do. This is a huge offseason for Fran McCaffrey, maybe his last one. And I'm as staunch of a Fran McCaffrey defender as you're going to find in Hawkeye Nation for a lot of different reasons. And I can't take another year like this. So, huge, huge offseason for this team. Have to get into the portal. Have to make a splash. Have to rebuild this roster and reload this team to a point where they're a legitimate contender. Maybe not for a Big Ten championship next year. Like, and that's, again, we need to set these expectations to a realistic level and understand that if they do falter next year and they do get rid of Fran McCaffrey, that there's no guarantee the next person will do better. As a matter of fact, it's more likely they won't. Who is the next person? Is it a Darren DeVries who's now going to West Virginia? But coaches move all the time. Him taking that West Virginia job doesn't mean he'll never come to Iowa. And him coming to Iowa would not mean he wouldn't go to Creighton when McDermott leaves. We've talked about this in football. We're getting out of the era of decades-long coaches, tenures. But, like, who's Iowa's T.J. Otzelberger? I don't know. It's, you know, it's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel here. It is, even for somebody who tries to be as optimistic as I do. So, we'll see. I mean, we'll give them a chance. Donate to the Swarm, I guess. And yeah, before I go, have to mention spring football has begun. I don't have a whole lot to say about that other than, of course, I'm excited about the upcoming season. The Caden Proctor stuff, it sucks. It sucks. It's a shitty thing to do. And no, that doesn't mean he's a bad person or I dislike him as a person. He's a young man who's clearly being pulled in a lot of directions, maybe has some commitment issues. You know, I was young and dumb. You were too at one point, but it sucks. It's BS to do what he's done to Iowa now twice. The day before signing day to change his commitment, to come in the transfer portal, enroll in classes, do interviews, show up at games, get everybody hyped up, and then just bounce out. And then really, like, the whole following of Iowa State football accounts on social media, like, it's just, it's immature. I don't think he's going to Iowa State. I'd be shocked if he goes. He's going to Alabama. He's going back to Alabama, which you can't blame him for going to Alabama. But just stay at Alabama, man. Just stay there. It sucks. It does suck. But as Kirk Ferentz said, you don't want somebody here who doesn't want to be here. Whatever fit didn't work for him at Iowa wasn't going to work and isn't going to work. You know, best of luck, good riddance, all of the above. Spring football, we'll have that covered from all angles with Rob Howe, as we always do. We'll have the Iowa women covered, as we always do as well. Huge, 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 obviously huge game on Saturday. And then let's go, baby. Buckle up. Let's go win a natty. Thank you so much for listening. Go Hawks.